Hi, welcome to Convince Me, a podcast brought to you by the Front Row Network and NPR Illinois. I'm your host, Larry Smith. I also happen to be a stand-up comic, and for as long as I can remember, I've been fascinated with what people love, what they don't love, what makes them laugh, and what they don't laugh at. And on this show, we're going to explore a little bit of all that. So thanks for joining us, and here's Convince Me.
And it's going to be really hard for me to not curse freely. And sitting with me today is veteran broadcaster, veteran podcaster.
That's right.
Veteran comedian.
That's true.
And ex-wrestler.
That's right.
And all-around handsome guy and a friend of mine.
That's the most important thing.
It really is.
Yeah.
Kyle Fields. How's it going, Kyle?
I'm doing good, man. Do I got to do the NPR voice if we're going to be talking on this NPR podcast? Which, by the way, I love NPR. But I'm used to, you know, I do the pandemic hit, whenever you're listening to this. I did radio, rock radio. Mm-hmm, I did adult contemporary radio, you know, so I'm used to more blah, 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 blah. That was that guy, and this is that guy. Come on, check this out. Yeah. You know, so it's harder. Because apparently I was just a strip club DJ for a long time. That was me.
Yeah, yeah.
So we
could do the NPR voice.
Plus, I have a podcast in which I just scream and cuss a lot. So yeah. it's going to be really hard to do a changing gears.
Well, like I told you, we'll put the explicit label right on there.
Sure.
I think the producers of the show just were like, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and make sure that. No, regardless of what you do, one of you is going to cuss, and I know that.
Well, so. Here's the problem with that, though, is that I have two different speeds, right? I was on the top 40 38-year-old soccer mom station,
yeah,
in which you couldn't say hell, which is fine. That's the format. And then I got my podcast, in which is literally the filthiest podcast I've ever heard in my entire life.
Same. So me too. And I've listened to a couple porn podcasts.
I guarantee you we're worse. So I can do one or the other. It's going to be hard to, like, dip my toe in the water, you know what I mean? I'm going to, like, say, you know, H-E double hockey sticks and then just say the F word. So it's going to be hard, but we're going to get through it.
Right. Well, G-D darn it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then eight F-bombs right in a row. Right.
Is that right? Is that right? So many times we had people in the studio, you know, and it's all, you know, when someone's literally never spoken into a microphone, you know, they get nervous a lot of times, right? And at the rock station I was on for a long time, we had a lot of guests come into the studio, and I remember one time we had this skater, right, you know, burnout 19-year-old nice guy. He didn't know what day of the week it was, you know, and he was like, hey, can I say a-hole, you know? And he actually, you know, I said, no, you can say a-hole, you can't say ass and then the word hole, right? And he goes, oh, okay. I'm thinking, oh man, this guy's on top of it. This guy, you know, other people might just ask. We get on there and he says the S word three times. It's like, bro, what are you, so you ask about asshole but you can't.
Oh, I forgot to ask about that, man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, we actually cut him off halfway through. We were like, okay, that's it. Thanks a lot for coming by. And it was awkward because, you know, you pot his mic down. Yours is still up. You're thanking him live on the air, and he's got the headphones on, and he's trying to talk, but he's not hearing himself. So he understands that there's no mic there.
Yeah.
It gets a little weird. So, but we're not going to be doing that. We're not going to be potting anybody's mic down on this podcast.
Not on this podcast. No. I want to give Jeremy and Craig a run for their money. If they want to bleep anything out, they're more than welcome to.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Kyle and I are legit friends. We've known each other for, God, how long have you been here? A couple years now? Four years?
Three and a half?
Yeah.
Over three. So,
hey.
There Cheers. We go. Cheers. All right. And our Donnie B's tumblers.
God rest.
May that club RIP with a question mark.
Yeah, don't know. Always with a question
mark. Donnie's like a phoenix rising from the ashes every time.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch is going to have a prop-up comedy club. Like, you know, it's going to have three walls and no roof. I can't wait.
Lean-to and a megaphone.
Yeah.
Like, not even like an electronic one. Just one of those old paper ones with a handle on it.
It's going to be one of those old gimmicks where, you know, the wireless mic would attach to a crappy old stereo. It's going to be like the sound system is going to be coming out of an old Miata with the trunk up. You know what I mean?
Just a at-home karaoke machine.
Yeah, and that son of a bitch still won't have me headline there. Donnie.
No. We got to talk.
You're not ready, kid. This kid from Iowa, he's been doing it for 3 weeks. He's the way to go. Yeah. That's not a shot at Clay Foley, by the way. Because Clay's from Iowa. I love Clay.
Well, Clay's put in the work. He wasn't a YouTube sensation with 3 million hits.
He might be. I don't know.
Well,
I mean, a lot of chicks like those 98-year-old tall, blonde, bald people.
Well, he's not blonde.
I meant to say bald, but I tried to play it off.
Yeah.
And you called me on it.
I did call you out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I've been on the road with a guy. Mm-hmm. You look at him a lot.
And especially the back of his head.
Hey! Yeah, because I was going to say I had to follow him. I never followed him. I was always his opener.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, he put in the work to schedule everything. And me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm lazy.
You know me. If I can show up and start talking, that's what I like.
Just point me at the microphone and go, it's on. Great.
I showed up today. The laptop was already open. 2 mics were up. I was ready to go. I said, hey, provide me with the legal marijuana and the booze, and we're off to the races.
Take that, NPR. How about that for a first episode?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
Let's talk some more about our vices. So, Kyle. Mm-hmm. I know all this, and I bet a lot of our listeners do, because you are pretty popular in this area. You were well known on the radio, and you've done a ton of shows. And
you're wildly popular.
Yeah,
wildly.
I know. Well, my kids know who you are.
That's good. Because I met them personally.
Yeah, well.
Although it's like usually what you say, it's like, oh, you know, my kids know who he is. You know, they know him off YouTube. No, they just because I happened to come here and get drunk one night and passed out on the couch.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that guy. That's how
they just drew penises all over your face, which.
They were already there.
They just traced over what you had scrubbed. Man, I scrubbed on these. Why aren't they going away?
Yeah.
But, okay, so real quick, tell the people. Because they're curious.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get your start? You started in, was it radio first and then comedy?
Radio in 04, comedy in 07. I went to a truck full of crap giveaway. That's what it was called in radio. And it was advertised as a whole bunch of prizes are going to be in the back of a truck. One of those could be Metallica tickets. I love Metallica. I showed up 6 hours early, literally slept there in the parking lot the night before, and they got there, and it was literally a truck full of crap.
Now, voluntarily, you slept in the parking lot, not like normal.
No. I usually sleep in the next parking lot over. I wanted to get a jump start, so I actually walked a few feet to this one. Yeah,
attaboy.
But no, the crap, it was actual fecal matter in the back of a truck. And here's the deal. It's just how I got into radio because I always tell this story. I don't know if I've ever told this the actual, because that's usually the story, but it goes on. I tried to get the Metallica tickets. I didn't. I got a DVD, and I said, look, I will literally eat the shit in this truck if you give me Metallica tickets. And I'm always embarrassed to tell that part of the story, but who cares at this point, right? And they said, okay. And they brought me in, and they were like, hey, we talked to legal. We can't have you eat crap.
We've talked to, like, that. I like that they – we consulted a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he said, probably not.
That's what happened. And then they liked me. They thought I was funny. They kept bringing me in. I kept, you know, doing some comedy stuff on there. And then one thing led to another. And then it ruined my life. So
that's the comedy story.
And no, that's radio. Comedy was just a lot less glamorous. I was 21 and I was like, it seems like I should do this. And that was it.
Yeah.
There was no, you know what I mean? There was no I was there. And Chris Spire is one of the greatest getting in comedy stories of all time. You heard Chris's story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's on the First Laugh podcast. Look at this synergy. Go check that out. But I don't.
And Chris is going to eventually be a guest on this, so we're not going to give away his story.
Chris is amazing. Yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
He owns owner of Mason City Limits.
Go check that club out when everything gets back opened up in about 12 years. But I don't have any romantic. I've always wanted to do it, and I did it, and I sucked forever at it. I really, 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 I don't know. I wanted to quit so many times, and then eventually I just got tired of wanting to quit. No, I'm kidding. I think I got a little better, and now I'm to the point where I'm not embarrassed when I go up. So there you go.
Well, and that's doing stand-up comedy.
Exactly right.
You just, you go up, you decide you want to do it, you go do it, you suck at it for a long time.
Yeah, most people suck at it for a long time. It's really funny.
And some people never stop sucking at it.
Some people never stop sucking. Some people are pretty good at the start. Some people start way better than other people and then never get any better because they don't put any effort in. Some people start not really good, but they work so damn hard at it that they get pretty damn good at it.
Yeah.
So it's just, and that's why it's so fascinating to go patronize these open mics and these local comedy shows, because you do get to know the comedians and you get to see the material evolve or not.
Yeah.
You see the same people do the same jokes at the same mics, and it's just like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. So, we love you, but please write something new and be willing
and I get it.
To
and
eat shit.
Yeah, and I've been lazy as hell my life too, and there's plenty of times where I do old shit. So I get it, but I'm just saying that it's fascinating to see that. How long you been? Do people even know you? You're opening up this show. You're like, hey, I'm Larry. What's up? Now, Kyle, what about you? Why don't you tell them?
You know, one cares. I'm just the host. I'm just a comedian, Larry Smith.
Larry's a comedian as well. Larry's been performing for five and a half years. 28 years.
6 years. Right. 5 months. Good. I've been doing it for 5 months. Mm-hmm. 3 of those have just been in the basement.
And you decided to dive into the podcast market. Because I'll tell you why. Because not enough white men in their 30s and 40s have podcasts.
Right. Not enough stand-up comedians have podcasts. Exactly, right. I felt like there was a niche.
There was a real opening there. Well, and about comedy. You really, you nailed it, brother.
Yeah. That was the thing. I was like, oh, because when the Front Row Network, we started talking, mm-hmm. I thought, very easy match.
Right.
Stand-up comic talking about comedy specials.
Absolutely.
And then I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, like, if there's one that I don't like, mm-hmm. I don't want to shit on somebody.
Look, the podcast we were talking about, our buddy has Josh Freeman. There's actually episodes where we do that, but it's called Pretentious Comedy Knobs, and we have a lot of fun with it, but there is a part of my brain, and I'm sure that you probably ran up against this too, where you go, okay, I'm a comedian. I don't have a special. This guy has a special.
Exactly.
And here I am shitting.
Yeah.
All over this guy's special.
Now, could I give constructive criticism?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Now,
can I admit that some comics, I'm not going to put any names out there.
I'll name some. Who else? Yeah.
Hold on. Give me some more whiskey. But like, there are some comics I know I'm not the audience.
Sure.
I'm not their audience.
Sure, right.
And so, therefore, I try to look at it objectively like that. So that actually segues perfectly. So I'm probably going to ask you a couple more questions because there's some things that I mentioned that we haven't talked about yet. But when I started thinking about this, initially once the state opens back up and we're allowed to gather in great number, we're going to do a game show.
Nice.
I had originally talked to you about that, but
you were super jacked about it. That's what you were going to do. That's what the show was going to be. It was going to be that. And I remember you were all tickled pink, all eat up with it, as we say.
I was.
And then this damn pandemic the biggest tragedy of this whole thing is that podcast got taken away from you.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think that's the biggest tragedy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. More so than anything else that has happened. Mm-hmm. When I realized that this was going to last more than a month, because I was like, we'll put it off a month, no big deal.
Yeah.
And then it was going to last a little longer. I was like, you know what? I've got an idea. And so I went to the Jeremy and Craig, the producers, and I was like, here's what I want to do. Because we have a group chat with all the hosts of their podcast network, and I thought I was sending a message to a different friend, and what I ended up doing,
and it was your penis, and that was the problem.
That was a guy, and I was like, look, some people like it, some people don't.
You were trying to send the producer your penis. That was the
and that's how I got the show. But no, I was like, you know, I posted in there that there was something that everyone loves and I hated, and I didn't realize I was posting it in this group chat about The Wizard of Oz. And I don't like The Wizard of Oz. I'll readily admit it. Now, it's not an indictment against people that do love it. I understand why you love it. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not the audience for it. And that's what I was trying to explain to these people. And they all got it at the end of it. I say these people. Like, these people. They're really good folks. Listen to all the other Front Row Network podcasts, please. But I was like, you know, and then there's stuff that I know I love that other people absolutely hate. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes it's an alcoholic beverage. Perhaps it's a food or music or a movie, television series, a video game. There's things, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And we accept that here on Convince Me.
See, and that's kind of hard to me because just the premise of this goes against every fiber in my being, every instinct that I have, because the whole reason this podcast exists is because people get so defensive.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to something that they have a strong connection with, especially when it's artistic, especially a movie that you grew up watching, again, like The Wizard of Oz. People remember watching it with their moms and their dads and the old dog that died when you were five, but he was there, and every time you watch it, you see the dog, and it's the thing, and then you say, you okay, buddy? Yeah, I know, and then you say that, and then that instinctively makes people just, I want to kill you, right?
Yeah, because they feel like it's an attack against them,
sure,
because they have personalized that thing, and it's, right. But the whole idea of this podcast is that we all have differences,
mm-hmm.
and unless you're a Nazi, that's okay. Nazis, never okay.
I love how in the political climate we're in, that's something that you have to say.
Yeah.
Nazis are never okay.
Yeah, I just want to Convince Me does not endorse Nazis.
I want to say it up front. There's one controversy we want to get out in front of on the first episode of Convince Me.
Well, look at me.
Sure.
The shaved head, the right. beard, this, all this.
Mm-hmm.
Except that I'm wearing a Digital Underground t-shirt.
Oh, it is a Digital Underground.
Yeah.
Oh, is that King Tut with the nose?
Yeah.
Like that.
It's,
okay.
Isn't that awesome?
That is pretty awesome.
But yeah, it's okay.
To be fair, though, you have a quarantine beard going on. So I'm going to say Nazis, a little more put together in the face. In the face yeah. area.
I did let everything go for about a month.
Mm-hmm. This is the good version of it.
I trimmed it up a couple weeks ago, and I haven't touched it since then. So I know I need to go back at it a little bit. Smacking my microphone. I need to go back at it a little bit. But you know what? This is a non-visual media. Mm-hmm. So you could have just said, hey, Larry, you look great.
You look great, Larry.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You do not have a beard that looks like Gandalf is on unemployment. No, Larry, you look great.
I said I may look like a hobo, but right. I look like a hobo you can trust.
That's true. That
yeah.
is true. Yeah.
Like if it was your first day as a hobo, you'd be like that guy. And then mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'm an executive hobo.
Yeah.
Oh. And I'm here to give you your orientation.
You would share things in your bindle with me.
Absolutely. I would show you where the good pies were.
Oh, like a cooling on the window
exactly.
sill. Oh, man. Isn't that a thing? Those are out of all of the aspects of the supposed Americana that, you know, the old school people pine for, right? The old June Ward Cleaver, you know what I mean? The old
yes.
black and white days that people are always talking about. That's the one thing that I never experienced it, but if we could go back to those very racist times, I'm sure. The one good thing would be the pie cooling on the windowsill.
Absolutely.
I think that would be the one part of it that we all could get behind. Right?
Cheers, sir. Cheers.
Thank you.
Yes. The pie cooling on the window. Let's get back. You know what? That's how we make America great again.
Please. I'm begging. Who's going to argue against that
and,
law?
And some rapscallion sneaks up and just yoinks it off of the...
This is good old-fashioned fun.
Yeah. Mrs. Smithers, she's got a pie cooling on the window. We probably ought to go check it out.
How many hobos got shot for one slice of cherry pie?
You know what? There's a lot to unpack in
dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking cherry pie. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kyle.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that, and there's probably a lot, we all have a lot of them, but what is it you want to tell me about that you can't stand and everyone else loves?
You know, man, there's a lot of stuff.
He's just turned the hat backwards.
I did.
He went over the top. The machine is on.
Yeah, just like in that, the Stallone movie where he arm wrestles to win the love of his child. That's a real thing that happened. He would flip the hat on backwards to get the power.
I'm like a machine.
That's what I'm doing now, you know? I'm going to say the Lord of the Rings. It's got to be the Lord of the Rings movies, not necessarily the books, because I read The Hobbit before any of the movies came out back in the day. Not to brag, I was in the book club, you know what I mean?
I get it.
A couple of books, free pizza. You know what I'm talking about.
Earned a few personal pans.
I did.
A couple of pee-pee. Never mind.
A couple of pee-pees?
Yeah. Let's not say that. Let's not.
No, I did not go to Catholic school.
Hey-o. You didn't earn those. Those were freely given.
So I loved that book, and then I read the That's right. I read The Fellowship of the Rings. You know, that was the first one. And it was kind of bored me. It was fine, whatever. And then I watched the movies. And the movies were and again, I'm 34. Well, you're what, 41?
Yeah.
All right. It's weird that I know off the top of my head, and I couldn't tell you how old my fiance is.
Sure.
Less. So maybe to my generation, I'm assuming also to yours, because you're part of the greatest generation, right? Oh. We grew up.
This is over.
Right? For me, it was in high school. Those were the movies of high school. All three of them were like, oh, my God, can you – you know, this is our trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody I know, man, that is like – that's – you know, to older people and older, I mean older than me, it's like The Godfather, right? That's the trilogy. That's the blah, blah, blah. But to right. my generation, there is no greater cinematic masterpiece than all three of The Lord of the Rings. And I get that I'm not going to say a whole lot that Kevin Smith didn't say in different specials, but it's true. They're so damn long. I can't take it. God, they're so damn long. So that's how I feel.
Okay.
You look like you'd be a fucking fan. I'm sorry. There we go. You look like,
there it is. There's the one.
There it is.
So Jeremy, Craig, if that's what the one you want to bleep there out, that's great. But put that little E next to this.
Yeah.
Because now we've made it explicit.
You get a little whiskey in me, and then you bring up the trill.
Yeah, the
trilogy
trill.
And the F bombs start dropping.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I was the opposite.
Really?
I read the books and was like, these are pretty boring. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, not to brag.
But you can read.
But I was vice president of the Dungeons & Dragons Club in high school.
No.
Thank you very much.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. And by that.
You were vice president of the Dungeons & Dragons Club. Can we all just drink that in for a moment? That is not what I expected out of you.
I know. When you look at me.
Well, no, you're like, you're a muscular, stout guy. You know your way around, you know, fixing a hole in a fence or all the other bull crap that I can't do. You also like nerdy stuff, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm, but it's mm-hmm. almost like there's like a healthy balance of Larry's a manly guy, but Larry also loves this sci-fi stuff. But I would never in a million years imagine you with a 45-sided dice and a bunch of pimply-faced teens that look like me.
Downstairs right now, I have a Spider-Man lunchbox full of multi-sided dye.
Oh, my God. What, you need more than one?
I've never
played it. And look, here's the thing.
I've got 4-siders, 6-siders, 8-siders, 10-siders. I got some 12-siders. I even have a 30-sided die. I've got some 20-sided. Everyone's got a 20-sided die. I've also got a 100-sided die.
That's not.
I have some made of brass.
That's not even a thing. It's just a ball at that point.
It really is. It is. It's just like a giant golf ball, and eventually it stops, and you're like, "Well, I guess that."
Yeah.
I don't.
Whatever number it's on.
It's the worst thing in the world. Worst invention.
I totally would have been a part of D&D when I was a kid, but I grew up a holler in Eastern Kentucky, where who the hell knows what D&D is? You know what I'm saying? So okay. So,
see, and I didn't until it was my. How old was I? Like 8th grade, freshman year of high school. And somebody was like, hey, you like Highlander and Lady Hawk.
I don't know what Lady Hawk is. I love Highlander. What's Lady Hawk?
You've never seen Lady Hawk?
There was the spinoff of Highlander called The Raven, so it wasn't that. What was
Lady Hawk? Lady Hawk was Rutger Hauer, Michelle Pfeiffer.
I like it already.
Oh, dude. Matthew Broderick.
What?
Yeah. So here's what happens. This is not what this show is about.
No, not at all.
You know what? We should do a whole podcast just about Lady Hawk.
Okay.
So Rutger Hauer is a knight. Mm-hmm. He's the baddest ass knight in the kingdom.
I like it.
Michelle Pfeiffer, and we're talking a young, like Michelle Pfeiffer's still gorgeous,
Michelle
right?
Michelle Pfeiffer went fresh out of Grease too. Remember her in that movie?
Yeah, this is what we're talking about. Mm. And she is the most beautiful maid in the land.
Still beautiful.
Matthew Broderick is a tertiary character that becomes a main character. He is the little thief, right?
The little thief.
He is. He's the mouse. They call him Mouse. He's a thief.
Sounds like that would be my Native American name.
Yeah.
Come see Little Thief live at the casino tonight.
And so the kingdom is run by the church.
Right. As it should be.
Oh, easy.
Come on, rat.
there's a lot going on, and it would take so.
Yeah.
The bishop that runs this is
the black guy in X-Men, right?
No. Okay. That's
different one.
Think further back.
Okay. He did travel through time.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But
sure, it wasn't him.
I'm positive. It was an old white guy.
Okay.
The bishop is in love with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm.
He can't stand that she loves Rutger Hauer.
Mm.
He lays a curse on them.
Whoa.
So at night, Rutger Hauer turns into a giant black wolf.
Oh, my God.
During the day, Michelle Pfeiffer turns into a hawk.
No way.
Hence Lady Hawk. And then right as the sun rises and the moon sets is a moment where they can see each other.
Nice.
And so their mission is to get where they can break the curse. Watch this movie. It's so – actually, I think I still have it on like the original copy that I had from a kid.
Do you – I've never
– It's on VHS. It's on VHS. I got to get a VCR to watch it.
It's got to lead to an awkward moment betwixt the two of them, though, right? Because if you only have a few moments together where you can see each other, you're going to start to have sex, and all of a sudden you're banging a wolf. You know what I'm talking about?
I've been there.
Ah, yeah. I understand.
Who hasn't?
Well, yeah. You got to come some way, am I right?
Oh, my God.
Can we do that? Can we say that?
Yeah, well, we just did. And I'm not cutting anything. This is content.
All right,
so... So
I don't Lord of the Rings.
Was it
man.
Just the length of
no,
Lord of the Rings?
I don't, you know, man.
I want you to know though, like a thousand. I say a thousand of the 10 listeners that I'm going to have on this mm-hmm. on this episode before they go back and re-listen,
because sure.
it's going to be wildly popular.
Oh my God, yes, of course.
Because yeah. people love nothing more than to be outraged.
They do.
You just made so many heads.
I did.
Explode.
I did. It killed me, man. It killed me. I mean, honestly, dude. I'm not gonna lie. I read the first book. And then I watched the second movie, okay? So I don't think that's why I hate it, though, because the book had everything. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm watching the second movie in the movie theater. I didn't even watch the first movie because the book was so boring. It was fine, whatever.
Sure.
I'm watching the second movie. I remember I'm sitting there with this girl, and she smelled bad. So maybe that's part of it. And I'm watching it, and I look over to her, and I go, how damn long are these trees going to walk? Because you remember in the damn, like, there is this journey, and they have to go, and there's a ring in the volcano. You know what I'm talking about. And they just won't.
Why didn't they just ride the eagles in the first place?
I'm not even going to jump on that, because everybody has made that point, and it's so true, and I'm sick of hearing it. And I'm sick, and, like, you watch the damn movie. And there's extended versions of these things. There's extended versions.
I have... Watch the extended version.
Like, each version of this damn movie, the original theatrical version, if you want... Actually, I got enough. The theatrical version is 3.5 hours. Who watched 3.5 hours of trees walking and said, God damn, I need 2 more hours of that?
Me.
Damn it, Larry!
I know.
So then the third one rolls around. And again, I know I'm echoing all the jokes that everybody else have made, but that movie literally has 14 endings. I remember
yeah.
I'm watching it in the movie theater. And look, I get it. It's epic. It's grandiose. There's fantastic action. It's crazy that a movie, that a trilogy of this scale could be pulled off. The director, very fantastic and talented MF-er, Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
Right? Love the guy, but I know him personally. We talk at the farmer's market, but damn it. I am watching Return of the King, and I remember I'm probably about 6.5 hours in the movie theater on opening night, because I hate watched it. I hated 2 so much. I said, I'm going to go watch 3 and be pissed off at it, because I was that asshole in high school. I'm watching this damn movie, and I remember it ends, and then it ends again, and then it ends again. I swear to God, by the fifth ending, I'm screaming at the damn movie. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Once again, this being the first episode, this is what this show is about. Even though I love the I love it.
Right.
I understand because I know I was watching it going, okay.
Right.
Okay, when are we done?
Yeah.
Cuz I want to go have a beer now.
Right.
But but you have to admit, there are really cool moments.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When Gandalf just the whole Battle of Helm's Deep.
I need to go watch it again, because I've not seen it since the movie theater. I was so pissed off at it. I freely admit that. But I'm watching it, And by the time the big climactic battle scene happens at the end, I was so pissed off that I didn't care because it took so and I remember like they just kept fighting and fighting and I don't know. I wasn't invested. Sure. I don't know why I wasn't invested, but I wasn't invested. Right.
Right. Right.
Because there's like for instance, Avengers when they're all fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
But for some Lord of the Rings, I felt like the movie was 3.5 hours, a 3.5 hour shot of Peter Jackson jacking himself off.
Yeah.
Like, just stop it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, with movies like The Avengers, you had, I mean, don't get me wrong, Peter Jackson loves the source material, obviously.
Oh, of course, right.
But he loves it too much.
He loved,
he could have made three awesome 2 hour movies.
Yes, yes.
And every person that watched it would have went, "Oh my God, this was amazing!" And the pace, and it was so quick, and it was fun, and it was quick. And that was that's the difference with an ensemble film like Avengers, all the Avengers movies, because the actors are also they're quippy actors anyway.
You're right about that. Yeah,
the script was designed for brevity. Mm-hmm. Even though they're all like 2.5 hours long.
But honestly,
you don't notice.
Like, seriously, you don't notice.
Because they also, here's the other part that the Avengers movies or Marvel, just say Marvel in general, they spent how long getting us invested in these characters?
Exactly.
And letting, I mean, we knew, like the first time we saw Nick Fury, we were like, Avengers are coming. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, the Avengers.
And then like 5 years later, they do the first Avengers movie or whatever. It was awesome.
Yeah. And you got to see the personality conflicts, but yet they still knew that they had a greater good.
But you were emotionally invested if you watched all the movies like I did. And like, honestly, probably most of us did individually in these characters. And you're right. It was quick. It was quippy. And not just that, but you had,
but it wasn't, not just, it wasn't fluffy.
Right. Yes. God damn. Yes.
Because
my Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll look again. Take it. If you look at the last Avengers movie compared to the last Lord of the Rings movie, they had so much story to get through in the last Avengers movie. And they did it in a way, I think, where it didn't seem like it was rushed, but it also didn't seem like it was fluffy.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it stalled too long on anything.
Right.
And it wrapped everything up in a satisfying conclusion that made everybody in the movie theater cry. If you compare that to Lord of the Rings, where it's just like you could literally walk into that movie, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through and you'd be fine. Probably like, it's shit's just starting to pick up. Yeah. All right, good.
Yeah. Yeah. You could wait. What is this? The last hour and a half?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're going to catch it.
Oh, you mean the credits? I totally get that.
Yeah. Right. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love how, and every complaint, and I've had this complaint for years, ever since I was a snot-nosed 18-year-old boy, every complaint that I had about this was echoed by the rest of film critics when the Hobbit trilogy came out. And that really was a three-part extended wank fest based on the shortest book of all four.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that, like, that was one book.
God.
It was one book they forced into three movies.
Apparently, I guess they also used some of Peter Jackson's notes. Not Peter Jackson, Tolkien.
Tolkien.
Tolkien. How do you spell it? Tolkien? Tolkien?
It's Tolkien.
Toucan?
It's Tolkien, Sam.
Tolkien. Okay. Toucan. Tolkien, Sam. Good.
You're catching up.
Yeah,
there we go.
I like that, yeah. Well, but no, I know they took some of Tolkien's notes, you know, so they actually did have some unseen source material. I get that. But, I mean, just stop. Just please. Can we just stop?
And that's – look, I love Tolkien. I love Tolkien as the father of – because he really is the father of modern fantasy. And he paved the way for a lot of – like. Again, I'm going to wave my big old dork flag. The Dragonlance series of books, brilliant, brilliant, fun.
I can see the condoms expiring in your bedroom.
I know.
Right now.
It's just teenage me going, will I ever find someone to touch it?
I was the same way. Right? Look, Dragon King. He inspired,
Dragonlance.
Dragonlance. Sorry. Okay.
Dragonlance. King. I'm so sorry. I don't know, nerd. Where's a locker I can shove you in?
No, I'm so sorry. So Dragonlance. He wrote those. You said
no. He inspired. He inspired. Okay. Well, he inspired Dungeons and Dragons. He inspired all of these fantasy realms.
But if you want to talk about fluff, man, go back and read those books.
Oh, that was my biggest complaint trying to read Tolkien.
Yeah, man.
Because it would be like, Gimli the dwarf drew his great axe.
Oh, my God.
And then the great axe, he felt the wood in his hand, the wood that came from the Yakamuk tree of the Cerulean territories.
Yeah, inside
those trees lived a worm, and next door to that worm lived a termite, and that termite was 5,000 years old, and if it had not been for that termite, who had found the Ents and nibbled their toenails down, they never would have been able to join the battle that I have not yet written about, but let me tell you now. And it was
then it would be 3 pages of the termite's own language.
Yes.
Like, the termite explaining his day.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was, you know, I feel that way about, and I don't know if it's because, you know, obviously you and I grew up in the 20th and 21st century, and we're just so used to entertainment. It's quick in a beginning and a middle and an end and a boom, yeah, and a boom and a boom. But if you go back and, like, if you read, like, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Jules Verne, right? Some of the most amazing, the man was just so brilliant in, like, fucking predicting a submarine and a spaceship and all this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you read the books, and they're great stories and they have great characters, but then he'll go on like a – because the 20,000 Leagues is written from the perspective of a fish scientist or whatever, right? And like he'll – I know, it's whatever, marine biologist.
I don't know, a fish scientist.
Well, I don't even know if marine biologists were around back then, but it was a motherfucker who loved fish, don't they? and literally the book would just be like, you know, a great story, and then it would be like a dude talking – like it'd be the main character – it's first person's perspective, writing for 3 pages about classifying fish.
Yeah.
So when you go and look at these, it's like, did people just have more time back then?
Well, let's face it. At that time when those books were written, what was the major source of entertainment?
Books.
Books.
And sex.
And books, sex, and hitting your kids. That was the three things.
That's true. And if you could involve all three at once, man, what a good time.
Oh, man. That's what they call – that was the official big time.
Big time, yeah.
We had a big time last night. Hit your kid.
Yeah, big-eyed time. That's what my dad said.
Yeah. Oh.
So I don't know. But you go back – like, so yeah, Tolkien – and Vern, all that stuff. So I don't know. Maybe I would like, and this is how, you know, stupid I am. I would like somebody to take those original books and just cut all the bullshit out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I mean, I don't mean Cliff Notes, because Cliff Notes is like, this is what happened. I mean, give me like Dragon Ball Z Budokai. Like, give me the book and you take the bullshit out.
Yeah.
And I have a good, I don't know, 300 page. You know,
and you know what? Also, any dialogue, get rid of the flowery language.
Yeah, really? So, I mean, that'd be nice. And then if I like it, then I'll go back and I'll read the actual book. Right?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I need.
Yeah, just you know, Aragorn walking in, being like, "Hey, Chief."
Hey, Chief. They rewrite it.
I got this sword, and your ghost army's gonna just do what I say. And the ghost is like, "Oh, he's got the sword, fellas. Yeah, let's."
Right, well.
I guess we got to go wipe out, just commit genocide on an entire race of...
I mean, look, okay, like in 1999, I swear I'm going to be making a point with this. Ally McBeal was such a huge show that Fox would rerun Ally McBeal in a half-hour version, because the show is an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have a half-hour version on like Wednesday, whatever, called Ally. Uh-huh. And it would just be the whole episode just trimmed down to half an hour. If somebody can take Tolkien, and there might be some copyright laws maybe involved here, probably not, and just like trim it down to like the choicest notes where it's still a story and it makes sense, but you cut all the bullshit out. That's $1 million idea right there, Larry.
What else are we doing, Kyle?
I'm writing it right now. I'm doing it for a minute.
Take the laptop.
This
go.
Old son of a bitch.
This old crusty man.
That was a little man. He had a ring or some shit. Yeah.
This hairy footed little fella.
Right.
All right. We've discussed the thing that you don't like.
That I don't like. Right.
Let's, more importantly, and this is what really this show is about. I want to know what people love. You tell me the thing you love that, you know, the majority of other humans hate.
I'm 100% serious about this. I love Limp Bizkit. Love them. Love, love Limp Bizkit.
And I love that you love Limp Bizkit.
Love them.
Because it's so divisive.
How is it divisive? Everyone hates them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, but that's the thing. There are still people out there.
Like me and a couple people in Russia.
None of them are like you.
It's true. It's
yeah.
True.
Like the people you that are still walking around with tribal tattoos and Limp Bizkit tattoos. And like, you know, of course, I am a grown man with my hat on backwards. But still. These are guys.
No, they're the kind of guys who are at any point, there's a 50% chance they're in jail for stealing a car stereo. Those kind of guys.
Yeah.
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 Kind of guys with not just a tribal, but a hatchet man tattoo.
Oh.
That's okay. Don't get mad. No, those people are not going to email. Their internet's turned off.
You know what? Juggalos have done a great job during this pandemic. They've been providing supplies to people. They've been taking care of folks. I don't have a problem with Juggalos.
What? Where did you hear this? Is this a thing?
Yeah, it's a legit thing.
ICP has, but okay, we don't have time to talk about ICP.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, you're
Juggalos,
right.
ICP. Anyway,
you're right.
Tell me more. Tell me what it is about Limp Bizkit.
So Limp Bizkit hit when I was 13 in 99. That was when Significant Other came out. That was their second record. The first one was $3 Bill, y'all. It was like 97. But I was 13 in 99. That was the perfect age for a little 13-year-old white boy to turn on TRL and hear, you know, Limp Bizkit. And, oh, my God, it's the best stuff ever, right? And then I bought that album, and it had, you know, Nookie. It rearranged. It break stuff.
And if I can interject.
Yeah.
Great
album.
Look.
Great album.
I'm not going to say I didn't have it on repeat.
Everybody
at
had it.
Everyone did.
Everybody.
And now suddenly everyone hates it.
Every dude. And that's the thing, man. Like, I don't – in my life, there's never been a band like that.
It was different.
Yes.
That was the thing. It was – now, I'm sure there were other bands that were mashing up musical genres.
Yeah.
And I know there was
Rage Against the Machine that was doing it. And a lot of people say Rage Against the Machine is Limp Bizkit if Limp Bizkit didn't suck. I get that. Right, but it's different. It's a different kind
Rage
of band.
Against the Machine is Limp Bizkit if Limp Bizkit wanted to be preachy.
Yeah, no, I can see. Yeah, because that is the most insufferable
I
C
love
word
Rage.
That I do too.
I love
do
Rage.
Too. But have you ever heard that son of a bitch in an interview?
Yes.
Have you ever read anything he's ever written?
Yeah.
Like, I love Rage, but I don't, just stay away from me. Don't even like talk to me. And I agree with you. But shut up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, how much of that exists? Every day I'm like, I agree with you.
Yeah, but shut up.
But shut up.
Please. Just stop.
I love now is when we're like fired. See, absolutely. This is what the point is. It's not, I don't want people getting real fired up about the shit that they hate.
Right.
Be passionate about what you love. Tell me more about why you love Fred Durst.
Getting
the rest of the Bizkits.
I do, man. The Bizkits. Oh, just like the Rockettes. I love it. Getting fired up like Jerry Lawler making a comeback. I love it, man. We're talking about how Rage is preachy. Limp Bizkit was the opposite of that. Limp Bizkit was, let's have a good time. It's catchy. That's the thing is, Limp Bizkit was douchey as shit. Everyone knows that. The backwards thing and the little soul patch and and the boy and the, I get it. And it was so of the time. It was so of, it could only exist between 99 and the first 6 months of 02. That's the only time that music could have been popular, but it was so popular.
It was.
People forget about that. And there have been so many popular bands that have come and gone since then that were cool, but now they're not. Nickelback was cool for maybe 6 months and then people hate it, but it's not. There is not a band, at least that I can remember. You know, here's what I would equate it to. I would equate it to 80s and hair metal, right? Like in the 80s, God, everybody loved Poison. And obviously you had people that said, oh, that's not real rock. But for the most part, it was huge. It sold millions of records. It was blah, blah, blah. Poison, bands like that. And then by Nirvana comes along. And then a couple of years later, by 93, dude, that shit sucks, man, right?
Yeah.
Same deal with Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit was number one on MTV, TRL, sold millions of records. He was in video games, multiple video games, for God's sake. It was huge. And then like that new metal, which is what they were, kind of went away, and then it really went away, and then it was like, dude, they suck. And then people won't even admit that they liked them.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, that is some catchy shit.
Yeah.
And the same deal with hair metal, right? You go back and listen to Poison, all those bands, Rat, Warrant, Whitesnake, list goes on. Catchy damn songs. You might think it's lame, or you might not, you make fun of the lyrics. They're catchy songs. Same with Limp Bizkit.
And they went to number one for a reason.
Boom, exactly.
And I mean, and let's face, Fred Durst singing, you know, Give Me Something to Break. The only thing that the Pillsbury tough guy,
yeah.
The only thing he was breaking was a piece of that Kit Kat bar. But at the time when he's up there, you know, in his big shorts and his hat and everything, and he's like, give me something to break. And you're like, yeah, I want something to break too.
Exactly.
Because I'm in my late teens.
Exactly.
And I'm angry about my lot in life as well.
Yes.
Thank you, Fred Durst, for finally giving the middle class white man a voice.
Finally.
Finally, someone to speak for me.
But I mean, look, and if you look at who that was popular with, like we said, the teenage boys, the young males. I mean, it was popular to everybody at the time, but especially those demographics, man. Well, you're angry and you don't know why, and you got balls and that are full and you're pissed off, you know?
Well, and let's, can we just, I know you'll appreciate, you'll be appreciative of this, and I know I was always appreciative of Limp Bizkit making it so that white trash boys such as ourselves,
sure, yeah,
seemed attractive to girls way out of our league.
I never thought about that, but you know what? Yeah, because Fred, nobody in that band was attractive.
No,
the only one who maybe was sort of attractive was Wes Borland, and he was covered in makeup and weird contacts all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So nobody even knows. But yeah, Fred, I mean, not the ugliest guy in the world, but totally the kind of guy that you can see. He's a floorman at your local titty bar. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He got a little earpiece in, balding hair, a couple tattoos, right?
Yeah.
But he's pudgy, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But man, he was chicks. If you go back and watch the video now and you weren't around then, or you're going to laugh. Chicks loved him.
They did.
Dude, like he got, oh my God, man. He was so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. If you were a generic looking white guy like us with your hat on backwards, man, he made it. Yeah,
He made life easier.
He really did. So
thank you, Fred Durst.
Yeah.
And the Bizkits.
The Bizkits. Yeah.
Can we refer to it as that? No longer Limp Bizkit.
No, the Bizkits. Fred and the Bizkits.
Fred Durst and the Bizkits.
Right. I've said this for years. I really believe that there is going to be. That music is going to be popular again. I don't mean popular in the way it was, but I mean popular in the way that 80s hair metal became popular.
Yep. Yep.
Some people enjoyed it ironically, and you had young people who weren't around for it, like singing it because it's catchy shit, right?
Uh-huh.
I can totally see young people who are, you know, I don't know, in their teens or 20s now who weren't around or they were too young when they were big to discover this stuff because Limp Bizkit is not on the radio. Limp Bizkit is not anywhere. You're not
hearing it on YMG.
Right, right. So.
Which is a travesty.
Right. But I mean, how many great classic rock songs that are absolute masterpieces do you hear and it just becomes white noise because you have heard Back in Black so many damn times? You know, you've heard this. I mean, it just, it's not like that with Limp Bizkit.
Well, and we all know, that all music comes back, all style of music comes back around. You know, the 80s synthy pop sound.
Love it.
I love it too.
It resurfaced in the 2000s.
Well, and it's right now, The Weeknd's whole album, his new album, is all that. And
I love it. I love
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah. It's delicious.
It's like, yeah, it's delicious. That's the perfect word for it.
Because it's just candy for your ears.
It's kind of like a more streamlined new wave in a way.
Yes, it is.
Like at least a couple of those songs. Yeah. And I love that British new wave stuff, man. That was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So saying that, you know, I was, to make it more personal, I was riding around with my youngest son the other day, and I was like, hey, can I throw some music on for you, see what you like? And
I rap with you for a second?
Hey, can we just have a second? Just me and you. Just guy talk.
Yeah.
But he's like, sure, yeah. So I threw – do you remember the movie Judgment Night?
No. Who was in that?
Everybody.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Dennis Leary, Emilio Estevez, Jeremy Piven. Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, my God.
Ethan Hawke.
That movie must be terrible. If all those people are in it and I've never heard of it, is it?
It's so It's not great. But I loved it.
Right. No, it was one of those movies. I worked at Blockbuster for like 12 years, no joke, right? Or 8 years. And I'd pick up a movie like that, and I would see everybody on it, and I'd never heard of it. I'm like, Judgment Night, what is this? And I'd look it up, and it would be like one star every time.
But I watched it so much as a kid.
Yeah.
I would watch it right now if it wasn't like $5 to rent on Amazon Prime. I'm like, we'll wait for that to be just a
$1.99 maybe.
We'll wait for that to be free.
Right.
But the soundtrack was specifically made for the movie.
Nice.
And it had mashups of popular like hip hop and heavy metal. Like there's a track on there with Ice-T and Slayer.
Nice.
Oh, so good. I'm running through some of that, and because I know he likes a little heavy metal and he likes a little rap, and he really likes 90s hip hop.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Dre,
that's cool.
Snoop.
Yeah.
That's
all new
jam.
To him, right?
Yeah. And so, but I throw that on there, he's like, meh. I was like, hey, hold on, let's check this out. So I put on, I've got a couple Beastie Boys albums.
Oh, man.
So I threw on, you know, a couple Beastie Boys songs.
License to Ill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was like, yeah, this is better.
Oh, yeah.
And then I said, are you familiar with the Bloodhound Gang?
You had to look around to make sure his mother wasn't in the car.
It was just the two of us, but I was like, all right. And I you know, put my hand up to my mouth. Because and he's like, I have no idea who that is. And so
I've never heard Bad Touch?
No.
Oh, man.
But I played for him 3.14.
Yeah. Pie?
Uh-huh. Which is, I mean, he's 14.
Sure.
That's
the first time I heard Hooray for Boobies. I think I was 13 or 14.
Yeah.
That's that record, right?
Yeah.
3.14. It had a lot of classics on it.
Oh, yeah. I Hope You Die. Lap Dance is so much better when the stripper is crying. Yeah.
I love that.
I did not play that one for him yet. That'll I've put the bug in his ear, but we listen to it and we pull up and he looks at me. Because we're finishing the, you know, song. We finished I Hope You Die. So we took the time.
I Hope You Die. Die. Yeah. God's great. Yeah.
We pull up in the driveway. And we sit there and we finish it. And I turn off the car. And I look at him and I was like, what do you think? And he goes, really like Beastie Boys. Hold on. And he goes, the Bloodhound Gang? I said, yeah. He goes, that's some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And I went, it is. And he goes, and in spite of myself, I loved it. And I was like, yes, now have shared something.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, but it's that, I mean.
I Hope You Die had a great little kind of metal breakdown on it, too. The
Bloodhound Gang does not get enough credit.
They don't.
The lyrics are, some of the stuff that they have rhymed.
Are terrible.
Yeah. But they're brilliant.
They are. Yeah, they are.
And also, and Jimmy Pop was one of the best rappers of the 90s and early 2000s. Because they did what they did.
I think that a lot of, I follow them quite a bit to the point where like, I listened to their newest one, which was, have you heard that?
Yeah.
It's not as great.
It really made me sad.
Hefty Fine was good.
I love
Hefty. I liked it because Hefty Fine.
Foxtrot Uniform.
Oh, Charlie Kilo.
Yeah.
Hefty Fine went in a different direction, but it was still really good. It was like, it was almost like more European synthy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But the next one, they're great. I love them.
Yeah.
I could talk about Bloodhound Gang all day.
But if it wasn't for, I think Bloodhound Gang was before Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
I think that kind of helped pave the way.
One Fierce Beer Coaster.
Yes.
Yeah, One Fierce Beer Coaster was the record before $3 Bill, y'alls. Because I want to say Fierce Beer Coaster was 95, Limp Bizkit was 97, but it's very. I mean, it's similar. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, and God damn, have you ever heard $3 Bill, y'alls?
Oh yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Oh, well.
But yeah, going back to Limp Bizkit, or excuse me, Fred Durst and the Biz Cats.
Biz Cats, yeah.
I mean, that was on at every party.
Yeah, dude, everywhere. Dude, every time you hung out with a friend, it'd be in the CD player.
Yeah, and driving beats, and it was catchy.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, it was, you're not wrong.
You're not
wrong for loving
Thank
them.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you know what? If anyone disagrees, please be respectful, because we're going to be respectful of you. Mm-hmm. But go ahead to the Front Row Network Facebook page and tell us why you don't agree with Kyle's opinions.
And I'll come to your house and kill you. Can I say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you can't. You can't say that. I mean, you can. It's America. Sure. You know what? It's America.
Right.
You can say what you want.
That's right.
But don't threaten the listeners.
No, I'm not really going to do that. I'm totally going to do it.
Oh, God. He's going to do it. He's going to do it.
Did you say a thing?
Quiet, you. What'd you say about Fred Durst and the Bizcats?
I dare say. Fred, by the way, Fred and the Bizcats are, they've been touring Russia a lot. Did you know that?
Of course they have, because Russia just finally got. And what better. And what better nation to appreciate angry white guys.
You know, you're not wrong about that, because you know who else is huge in Russia to this day? Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal, yeah.
Steven Seagal. It's so funny that they just get our 90s cultural backwash in Russia.
They get all the leftovers. We're like, yeah, we're done with this. They're like, well, we are not. We still like angry white people.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I love Steven Seagal and Limp Bizkit, so maybe I should move to Russia. I mean, honestly, it can't be that bad if those two people.
Why aren't we getting a mashup?
You mean like what, in Russia and America?
No, of like Steven Seagal and
oh, bro, I would love that.
Wouldn't that be?
I want to hear Steven Seagal rap, and then
I just want him to
catch his breath halfway through the verse.
the Pillsbury Ninja.
Oh my God! Yeah,
that's two Pillsbury references.
A lot of aging, overweight white folks are heading to Russia. Oh
well,
it's cold.
Well, and they're respected there.
That's true. That's true. And they got all that fat for the weather. That's
exactly
what it is. Yeah.
And if anyone's hearing that noise, I don't know if you can, if it's probably picking up, mm-hmm. but we have been joined by my dog.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. She's eating pussy in the background.
You did so well.
No, I wanted to throw
you
it
did
in at the
so
end.
Well.
I wanted to throw it in at the end.
Oh, that was just. Lord Almighty. We were so close.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Hey. Mm-hmm. You're beautiful to me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. You're my James Blunt, too.
Yeah, I like that you legit blushed when I said that,
well,
though.
You know, I haven't been called that in a while.
Honey, no.
It's like those Facebook pictures you see, you know, the people before and after. Uh-huh. They're called beautiful. That was me.
Yeah, it was. It really, there's a big difference.
Give me smile wrinkles.
All right. So, we need to plug stuff for you.
Oh, we do, yeah.
So you tell me about your podcast.
Yeah, well, I got the Obtuse Angles podcast. It's with my buddy Jeremy Sutherland, who is also a comedian. You can check it out at just look up Obtuse Angles everywhere, man. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere in between. Subscribe to us. We do it once a week, and we have every single week for like 5 years or something like that. A long time. 270 episodes is about where we are now. We are kind of like this in the sense that we're topic-driven material, man. So, we do one episode on like a lighthearted, fluffy pop culture stuff, one on a murder, one on people who disappear, but it's always funny. It's very inappropriate, very, very not safe for work. obtuseangles.libsyn.com. Find us on Twitter at obtusepodcast. Also find me at kylefieldscomedy.com. You're going to see where I'm going to be performing comedy when the world opens back up, like I said, in about 12 years, yeah. Right?
Unless we're willing to go to a southern state.
Exactly, because they just stop caring about people's lives. At Funny Man Fields is where you can find me on all forms of social media. Reach out to me, like me, give me money. That's all I want. So, yeah, that's it.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
For joining me on this inaugural
maiden voyage. We did that thing where we bashed a bottle over the side of this chair.
We really did. And again, I couldn't think of a better person than veteran podcaster.
That's right.
Veteran broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Veteran comedian. One of the best crowd work comics I've ever seen.
Tim Cavanaugh. And he's not here, but he got me. So thank you, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, Kavanaugh's great. I mean,
he's great, really great. You ever get the chance to see him?
Yeah, please. Yeah. You know, if you ever get the chance, again, if we ever get to do live comedy, because virtual comedy is weird, come see us. Again, I am your host.
You've been doing the virtual comedy thing, by the way?
I have done a few.
Yeah? What'd you do?
Okay.
What kind of material did you do?
Okay, so I tried to do some jokey jokes the first time.
Yeah.
And
it's weird.
It is weird. It's weird because it just, you don't hear the audience laugh.
No.
It feels like you're bombing.
Yeah. Because you are. Yeah.
Well, that's me.
I'm kidding.
It's just going to crush.
I just roast. I roast people. That's what I do.
Okay.
I've only done one. I found that it worked out really well. You see people, and if you go late, then you get to see where they're broadcasting from.
Right.
It's a Zoom call, and you make fun of their poverty that they're living in. if it's comics on a Zoom call, they're living in poverty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Go ahead and do that.
I did a little bit. I did a little bit of that, but mostly like I did a couple storyteller shows, mm-hmm. which for me,
I can see that.
Yeah,
that worked.
Because I do mostly stories.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that worked better for me. And then I got on a couple other, virtual stand-up shows. And I just told stories because again, for me, it felt more natural and it felt easier.
Well, but that makes a lot more sense too, because it lends itself more to people sitting around telling stories, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're going to be doing anyway. But if you're up there and you're like, so I was at the grocery store that, No, you weren't. Well, I was out. No, you weren't.
No,
you weren't.
Nope.
No.
Well, the other day, no.
No.
No, we're all home. We're always home. We're never not home.
Right. We're never not home. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And no one wants to hear your COVID material.
No.
Because we're all sad and in our sweatpants.
Right.
It's not. Look, and that's the other thing. With comedians, we used to have the market cornered on sad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, funny. Look at this sad guy. So the other day I didn't change my shorts for 6 days. And now no one's changing their shorts. And I'm talking like board shorts. I'm not talking their undershorts. But, you know, now everyone's sad like stand-up comedians. Yeah. And that feels like an affront.
Well, I think all of us who have wrestled with depression at some point, you know, you've had those people all high and mighty with their serotonin and whatnot looking at you being like, what are you going to be sad about? What are you sad about? You're so sad all the time. Yeah, now, fucker, where you at? Huh? Yeah. COVID?
Yeah.
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 Well, welcome to my world. Are you sad all the time? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you still living, laughing, and loving? I don't think so.
Yeah.
You're drinking, crying, and farting
in
your chair.
My mom's calling me like, you know, how are you holding up? Oh, like usual.
Yeah. This is pretty standard, although sometimes I'm a little more sad.
It's exactly right. I'm getting unemployment money, Mom. Yeah. I'm great.
I'm slightly drunker than I normally am.
At 3 p.m. Yeah. Well. Exactly.
Yeah, because I've got a bar upstairs and downstairs
I
now.
I love it. What kind of whiskey you working with, you said there, Jameson?
Got a couple of bottles.
Jameson Cold Brew? What the hell's that?
Oh, yeah, that's a coffee, Jameson.
What?
Not a sponsor, but they should be.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like you're
We
right.
got a little Redemption Rye. We got some Buffalo Trace.
Oh, I love Buffalo Trace.
That's what you've been sipping on.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
No wonder I've loved it so much.
Yeah, that's why this podcast has been so good. It's fueled by whiskey.
Yes. I lived in the same town as Buffalo Trace.
Yeah, I know. Sweet. I know. That's why I made sure to give you it to you.
I love you, baby.
I remember the details.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
All right. That's, you know what? I think that's good for a first episode.
I think it is, yeah.
Thank you again, Kyle.
Going off rambling, talking about Kentucky bourbon.
That's all this is.
Can't end it in a better way.
No, I don't think so. It's an insight into our characters.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
And if you are listening to this podcast, thank you, man. It's hard to get anybody to listen to a podcast from a white guy saying the same old bullshit. Trust me, I know. So thank you. and you know what? Subscribe to it, man. Larry's a hard worker. You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there. You know, there is.
There's a lot to choose from. So if you chose this, I'm sorry.
But I like it because I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. Larry's got a Zoom. He's got a couple of professional mics. Got a laptop. He's got the earphones. He's got bourbon. He's professional. Can't tell you how many podcasts out there you listen to where it's like one guy in a damn microphone and the cat's pawing at the damn mic the whole time and he doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about. But this is professional. Check out Larry's show. Look, if I say professional, as I fuck with a mic.
Yeah, just slapping it around.
Yeah, check out
You know,
Larry's
that
show.
Mic is bent because of you.
What? No way.
Yeah. Yeah, you dropped it at a
this
show.
Mic?
Yeah, that.
What mic is this?
That's the one I usually use for.
I dropped
our sound.
It.
Yeah, you dropped that mic.
When did I drop? Was I fucked up or did I do it on purpose?
Yeah, it was at a Buzzbomb show.
Buzzbomb show. Oh, I was probably fucked up.
It was me. I was hosting, and it was you and Charlie.
Where did I bend it? Right here. Oh, on the.
Yeah, you can see.
You can see.
Somebody was like, are you going to replace it? I was like, no, because every time Kyle touches it, I'm going to be good. Hey, you know you did that, right?
I can't believe that you have held on to that and waited the last second of the show to even tell me.
Oh, it's so good. That was tasty.
Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me in the slightest.
I know. It doesn't bother me.
My fiance is like, you know, well, this trash in the ground doesn't bother you? I'm like, no, I don't care.
No.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Drives are crazy.
Yeah.
So who cares? I can imagine. Whatever. Yeah. Hey. Life shit anyway. Have a great day, everybody.
God bless. All right. Thank you. That's been Convince Me with me, Larry Smith. And you can find me on Twitter and also on Instagram at @PoundSmith2 because that's my initials. You'll figure it out. All right. Thanks a lot. And thanks to Kyle for joining us. And I've never ended a podcast like this before. So, Kyle, just give us something inspirational.
You never know how many women you can't sleep with until you try.
Words of wisdom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org. You can also find and follow us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram, and Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter.